Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Has there been any moments where he's maybe surprised you with what his opinion is on one of those things?
No, not at all. Before we ever get to the game, we've talked about those situations and we kind of know when it comes up what's going to happen. And if there's any kind of disagreement or whatnot before, you know, shoot, I call a timeout and make sure we're on the same page and in those kind of decisions and make sure we do the right thing in those critical type situations.
Well, that's before the game, but he's actually David Culley on the headset with Nick Caserio and Romeo Crennel during the games. And joining us right now is Mark Ross. Among other things, he was vice president of player evaluation, 11 years with the New York Giants, won two Super Bowls with the Giants. And right now he is also at the XFL, the executive VP of football operations. But we're going to talk NFL with him. Mark Ross joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mark, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
We appreciate you being here. Did you hear Coach Culley? Now, Coach Culley also we talked about it yesterday in his press conference. Coach Culley talked about that Nick Caserio, the general manager, is on the headset giving him advice in two-minute situations and whatnot during the game. Have you heard of this before anywhere, Mark?
I worked with Coach Culley, David Culley, for 8 years in Philly, one of my most favorite people I've ever worked with. So I'm going to be as diplomatic as possible. But no, I've never seen or heard of that. You know, the only time you heard about it, you know, with the Ray, I think a lot of people are confusing with the Ray Farmer situation in Cleveland when he was the GM, where he was using his cell phone to call down there, which is illegal. You know, the headsets is different. That's when you're in there with the coaches listening in. You know, when I was a young scout, I used to preseason games, I would go in there just to see what was going on, what those coaches were doing and learn. I wasn't on the headsets, just with them, but I have absolutely never heard of a general manager being on the headsets during a game with a coach. It's quite shocking, number one, that it's going on, but two, that, you know, it was verbalized publicly like that as if it was just a normal standard operating procedure for a team.
Mark Ross joins us right now, and that's, you know, Mark, I think that's the part that's shocking. It's shocking but not shocking. Nick Caserio came from the Bill Belichick school of autocracy, and, you know, one guy is in charge of the entire thing. I think there was a, and I don't know how you want to answer this, and I'm not trying to make a comment, you know, about Coach Culley at all, because everyone's talked about what a great guy he's been, and we have no problem with him here in Houston. However, it does feel like, you know, he was hired so that Nick Caserio could really have his fingerprints all over, and I mean all over, the team and the rebuild of this team.
Yeah, I think when at first it was shocking when he first got hired. Of course, you know, David's been around a long time, and you know, resume speaks for itself. But just to be a head coach, was that really the guy for it? So I think when he got hired, there was a lot of questions about that. But, you know, now you're seeing it in real time. But, yeah, it's not – when he took the job, it probably may have been discussed. Like, hey, I'm going to be on the headsets with you doing this. Okay, so now it's going through. But, really, it's the next hire. You know, if David makes it through this year to the year two, it's, okay, what about the future of the organization as far as you're interviewing head coaches and they know this and you're asking the GM, are you going to do this? And – yeah, I'm going to do it. Okay, well, thank you. I'm out the door. Or whoever they hire next and they say it's okay to do that, then are you really getting the best person, the most qualified person, or just the person that's going to fit underneath this structure, you know, of the GM calling the shots? I mean, you know, coaches have lots of help on the sideline, in the box, helping them with things. but they work for the head coach. You know, that the head coach kind of is the guy. And when your GM is the boss there and the head coach is listening to the GM, I just don't think that's, especially on game day, that's the way to operate an organization, operate on game day.
Mark Ross, NFL.com analyst right now, and also the EVP, Executive Vice President of Football Ops, for the XFL. Mark, have you seen a tougher situation than the, I mean, there's a plus player on all, a couple of plus players, Tunsil, who's never there, and then Brandon Cooks. And you've got a situation where you come in and you don't have any first or second rounders. What do you think of the way that Caserio put this together and the situation that he faced when he walked in the door?
Well, of course, it was a tough situation because of what O'Brien had done as far as trading away all the picks and not having any money. So, you know, Nick definitely did step into a tough situation. But, you know, that's, I always tell people, hey, they take the job. They don't have to take the job. So they take the job. They know what they're getting themselves into. And part of the selling point is, hey, I can fix this and I can make this organization right. So I never really feel bad for people for the situations they put themselves in. He knew what he was getting himself into at this point. You know, they've been a competitive team in some stretches of games, but for the most part, you know, this is still one of the worst teams in the league. And it just the future is the concern. You know, are they going to get better? What is on the horizon for this team as far as can they draft their way out of this? Can they sign their way out of this? And it just looks right now that it'll be a long road. And but again, that's what the people who are there signed up for, Nick and, you know, all the other executives that are a part of this.
Mark, do you I work with Mark. I do some stuff. I've enjoyed my time with Mark before COVID. We only had a year where we got to do some stuff. And you're still with NFL Network. You just took a position where you're going to be running an XFL team when they're back on field and operational. I want to ask from a media standpoint, your time now getting to sit back and look at things from a wide lens, a macro view of all 32 teams. Do you think that has really helped you, your time away from the game, to see the game in a different way, or is that a little overblown?
Oh, 100%, Lance. You know, it's when you're with the team, I mean, that's all you're focused on is just surviving every day with your team and doing all you can to make that team better. And you're just so – you just have blinders on, or you're just thinking about – who you're playing at next week. That's all you're really thinking about. And you're just so, it's so stressful. You know, it's, people don't understand how stressful working for an NFL team is. You know, and every day you're, it's wins and losses every day, especially in the markets I've been in at New York and Philadelphia. So now with the network, you can take a step back and really enjoy football and find the love for the football again, as opposed to just being stressed out every day and seeing the entire league, you know, knowing all the different teams and not just your own team or whoever the free agents are. But, yeah, definitely seeing the bigger picture and the trends and the coaches and what's really going on in the league in a way that your eyes are open and you're not stressed out about it and you can really take it all in and absorb it all.
Mark Ross with us here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How do you like the way Caserio's handled the Deshaun situation, waiting this thing out? And, you know, we'll see whether or not, you know, criminal charges, whether or not Deshaun can get through this thing and get to another team. But so far, what do you think about the way Caserio's handled it?
Yeah, I think he's handled it really well. And, again, another situation he stepped into, which is a no-win situation, honestly. And when all that shit, obviously it was a big topic of discussion for everybody in the media about each step of the way. Is he going to get traded? And we got the rumors coming up, and I will be, you know, ready to go on air with people, production meetings, and saying, look, y'all, this is not happening. I don't care what intel you guys are getting. This is not happening because of, number one, the first thing you got to do, the owner's got to say, yep, we're going to take this situation on. I just couldn't foresee any owner wanting to do that. Then you had the football side of it where you had to have the draft capital and the finance, you know, the salary cap space to do it. So when you put all those things together just on the football side, there was only a couple teams that actually do it. And then when you say the ownership has got to say yes, I just could not see that. So I think holding on to him was the right decision, but I think it might have been the only decision as well, despite all the media, you know, scuttlebutt that he was going to get traded. So there's a lot still to be worked out there, as you guys know, and, you know, this could – go on for a much, much longer time until all the legal stuff gets worked out.
Let's say they do get some picks and some big picks for Deshaun Watson. How long is this rebuild for the when are the Texans give some people a little bit of hope of how long this could, the quickest it could possibly take to get back to decent football?
Yeah, well, as we know, the quarterback is key, and that everything revolves around that. And Lance, I don't know how much you've been digging into these guys this year, but let's just say it does get resolved, like right now, this for this draft. It, just in my quick view of these guys, I've been watching them a little bit. I just don't see a franchise changer in this year's group. Lance, if we agree or not,
I don't either. I don't either.
So, okay, now you're pushing out to another year, and who knows what's on the horizon for the next draft class. So, unless Davis takes a giant step in these next couple games and next season, you might be in the same boat talking about the same things at this point next season.
Yeah. Bryce Young has got, he's got 2 years in, so he's a possibility for after next year. So we'll see what happens there. He looks like he probably is going to be that number one overall pick. Mark, I want you to listen to something here. It's really important to us here in the city of Houston. We actually did have some good football at one point.
Butler in the backfield from the 2 yard line. Option. PJ throws end zone. Complete. Touchdown. Roughnecks. Cam Phillips with his third touchdown catch of the night. One more time.
Look at that. And Mark, that's John's being self-serving because he's the play-by-play announcer for the Houston Roughnecks.
The champions of the XFL.
Oh, man.
John, they didn't have a championship game.
They're the
John.
Champions
there was no game.
Of the XFL, Mark. Are we going to get a team back here? Are we going to get an XFL team back
here
in Houston?
I'm bound to secrecy right now. I'm running all the operations for the XFL this year. But we'll see. I think there was a very good support network. I think that the Houston team was looked upon very favorably by the people that were there before.
The champs. We were the champs, Mark. That's what we were. Okay, 5-0 champions, and we need our team. We need some good football back here. So we need the XFL back here, Mark. Okay,
I know. There you go.
You're pulling those strings. I know that. Okay, so
it's gonna be a little tougher building an XFL team. Is a little different. It's like, and this is no disrespect to the XFL, but the guys who recognize unpolished gems and the best street free agents, and it's a different type of, it's more back end modeling of a roster. So that's stuff that you've done as well, Mark. I mean, that's what every executive and personnel director has to do, is you got to recognize what NFL starting talent looks like, what backup talent looks like, what developmental talent looks like, and what, guys who can get you through a season look like. It all factors into what you're going to be doing now.
Yeah, you're right. It's not just your initial 53 that you start the season out with your starters. I mean, you're going to 60 maybe. I mean, look at what's going on with the Ravens. I mean, they're playing with a whole backup. Do they have a starter that's still out there? And that's the part of building a team and with depth. And, there's never depth between going from a Pro Bowl left tackle to your third left. I mean, that's just not realistic that the guy's the same. But, you just have to try to get as many guys as possible, discover those guys who can get you through or have some potential. And, that's the beauty of scouting and all the good scouts I work with, those guys that are on the road grinding every day. They love that challenge of finding the under the radar guys. And there's no such thing as sleepers anymore, but just those guys that, they really love, that they thought had potential, that may have been a little bit undervalued at the time. And, that's what the XFL is going to have to do. Find those kind of second, third tier guys and hopefully develop those guys for our league, but also, it's a shot at the NFL as well. That's where everybody's trying to get to, obviously.
Well, and the last time the XFL was around, at first they didn't embrace that. We don't want to be a minor league for the NFL, but and then they were like, hey, look at all our guys that went to, PJ Walker and Donald Parham and guys that have gone to the league. That's great. Look at we have a good brand of football here.
Yeah, I think we're going to embrace that now as far as it to be. And I've worked for the NFL, obviously, for all these years, and even in the league office consulting with them. So embrace the synergy with them. Embrace anything that we can do to help them. Embrace, hey, if our guy makes it there, we're going to champion that. We're not an adversary in any way. We're a collaborator with the NFL 100%, and that's what we're going to pride ourselves on. And I think, and as you mentioned, in years past, they tried to make it seem like the NFL was the enemy. And I just think football synergy between all football is good football for everybody.
Yeah, and the XFL proved there are a lot of guys on the street that can play football. So there was talent in the league. I don't think there's any question about that. It was fun. It was a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to it again, Mark. Really, really looking forward to the XFL back here in the city of Houston, and I'm glad that you just told us that that's going to happen. We really appreciate that. Mark, thanks.
I can't be bribed, though. I love some good bourbon. You can get my address offline if you need to send.
I'm going to have Brian Michael Cooper call you, okay? He ran this thing down here, and he did a hell of a job. We put together – there was a hell of an organization he put together down here. So I'm gonna get him your number, okay?
Yeah, and let me know if y'all need anyone on headsets to the coaches. I'd love to have some input if you guys are going to do that in your league. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're always looking for innovative ways for our new league here with the XFL. So maybe we'll do that. We'll just have the GM to head coach interface there going on every game. I might jump on there too, man. Start hollering at the coach. Mid-game.
You didn't know that was possible. It's possible, Mark. Well, you didn't think it was possible. It's possible.
I got a big picture of Bob Stoops or June Jones going along with that, okay?
Yeah.
Trust
me, there were plenty of times I wanted to call down on the field and say some things, but just couldn't do it. But
you were Tom Coughlin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was with Andy.
Yeah,
Andy
good luck with that.
For 8 years and then Coughlin for 11.
Stay off the headset.
You better
Mark.
Stay off
stay
those
off
headsets,
headset.
That's for sure. Mark Ross.
Yeah, we'll try.
Mark, we appreciate you joining us, and man, we can't wait till the XFL gets back.
Thanks,
so
Mark.
Good luck with all of
Thanks.
That, Mark. Thanks for hanging with us this morning.
Guys. Y'all take care.
You too. That's Mark Ross right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92. See, Lance, we got the XFL back. I think he just said that.
He didn't say that.
That's what
please.
I heard. Maybe you heard
you don't
something
have to,
different.
They don't have to say anything. Why would the XFL not come back to Houston's got a great stadium. We've got great weather in the spring. The fans came out and enjoyed. Like, it's a nope. That should be the first team. That should be the first city that gets a team.
You should, absolutely. The champs. Why would you not go back to the champs?
You got to stop saying
repeat.
Champs.
The champs repeat. Yeah, okay, so that's what we got to have. Childish Altuve, Art says, hey, someone's breathing really heavy this morning. That would be me, Mark. That would be me, Art, because of Coors Lights last night. Had a few. So I'm breathing a little bit heavier this morning. And
again,
I'm
with the Coors Lights?
Why would I not have Coors Lights? Coors Light is cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing, Lance. It's the world's most refreshing beer. Did you get refreshed yesterday? Or was it not? I don't even care if it's cold or warm or whatever the deal is. I want to be refreshed, and I want Coors Light. I don't want motor oil. Go ahead. Yeah, you have one of those dark beers that tastes like motor. I don't understand that in the least. Why would you want one of those? Why would you not want to be refreshed? Why would you not want the world's most refreshing beer? Because by the way, yeah, you can have your warm beer, Germany. You know where I ain't going? Germany, because they got warm beer there. Ugh, holy cow, is that terrible. You know what I want? Cold. I want cold and clean and crisp and refreshing. And that's what my Coors Light is every single time. You know how I know it's cold? Because I can look at it. I don't have to touch it. I can look at it and tell it's cold because it's got the blue mountains. Look, it's the best technology. The best technology going along with the best beer. It's Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's talk a little NFL here. Last night, the Vikings stayed alive with their win over the Bears. The Raiders beat the Daniel Carlson field goal at the end to win that football game. So the Browns had a chance to get back up on top of the division, but they had all the COVID stuff. Chris Godwin, the news that he is done for the season with a knee injury. Brady made some comments, Lance. Hey, you can't hit the quarterback in the knees anymore. You can't hit linemen in the knees anymore. Why are we letting defensive backs hit wide receivers in the knees? Pretty good. I think it's a pretty good point. I mean, you are. I mean, how many times have we seen, you know, just knees getting blown out on plays like that? That maybe he's got a point that this has to stop.
I it's tough because in the in the heat of the moment, in the speed of the game, you're trying to get guys down. I mean, you don't. So you take out what the from the below the thigh, you take out from the shoulders up. I mean, I get what you're saying. It's probably the right thing. I think it's easier said than done when you're going as fast as NFL teams are going. You have a much smaller strike zone. The strike zone's been lessened, and it should be. I mean, we never talked about this. What did you think about Vincent Jackson? There were two different players now, not just Vincent Jackson. There was another one, too, who one was involved in murdering his family. The other one was Vincent Jackson. Both were found, former football players found to have CTE. I'm keeping track of this because I still think that eventually it is going to have, the CTE stuff is going to have a dramatic effect on football. It may not be, it may take a while. It may be certain players, it may be 20% of the potential football pool ends up going to play a different sport, which I don't know that we would be able to even keep track of that since you won't know who isn't playing and who is playing, you know, who could have played or would have played. But I think the CTE where some players are really suffering through emotional and psychological trauma because of the CTE, I'm not sure how that's not going to become a bigger focus.
You're talking about Phillip Adams, who...
Phillip Adams, yeah.
Yeah, he was accused of killing six people. And here's...
his children. His children.
His children, his family. Holy crap. So, it's funny. Brady had this to say about that very thing.
It really impacts guys' careers. And Chris, you know, I know he'll overcome it. It's a tough rehab. But, you know, you tear your ACL. That's a lifelong injury, you know. And I'm sure... almost every pass catcher in the NFL would prefer hit to the head over a hit to the knees. I certainly would. I'd take that, you know, a million out of a million.
Wow. That's poor timing after this had just happened with Phillip Adams and now Vincent Jackson as well. Kind of poor timing by Brady to be talking about hits to the head because, it may not affect your career right now, but the long-term health – and what's going on upstairs in your brain?
Yeah,
you can live with some knees. You can't. Apparently, these hits to the head are causing way worse results than a knee replacement. So, I don't know that he's got great timing on that one. But I don't know. Okay, from a football standpoint, with Chris Godwin out now, Evans hurt as well, and Leonard Fournette with a hamstring. You know, the Bucs obviously couldn't get past the Saints. They couldn't last year get past the Saints either during the regular season, but they managed to. Well, losing Chris Godwin's a big deal for the Bucs.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. Now, I don't know if you mentioned this today, but we've got Antonio Brown is coming back, and Bruce Arians, I think it helps Bruce Arians to an extent say, well, things have changed with COVID. I mean, what he's basically saying is that COVID is the variant that's 75% of people who are infected now have the Omicron, and that is not nearly as severe as the earliest version, the earliest strain, and some of the other ones. And so I think what Bruce is basically doing is using that to say, well, things have changed, so we're going to bring Antonio Brown back now because we're, you know, he's using that as an excuse. Well, the fact is Antonio Brown circumvented league rules that were instituted to make the game safer so that they could play and that players could play. And I think it's kind of a little bit of a cop out, but it's not, you know, it's since he said there were no second chances for Antonio Brown, but now with Chris Godwin gone, you know, he's really going to need Antonio Brown, and it's going to change mm-hmm. things a lot. You got Mike Evans outside, you got two slot guys, and Scotty Miller and Antonio Brown, who are, you know, certainly fun football players to watch at times, but Chris Godwin has been a major factor for the Bucs. I know people think of Mike Edwards and Gronk. Go look at Chris Godwin's numbers since Tom Brady got there.
Well, here's Bruce talking about that yesterday.
You did bring back Antonio Brown after saying that he screws up one time and he's done. So what made you decide to give him another chance?
Well, the history has changed since that statement. You know, a lot of things went on last year that I was very proud of him. And I made a decision that this was best for our football team.
Okay, so his history, he meant just Antonio's not the same guy.
Well, the history's changed. No more Chris Godwin. I got to have him. I need him. Now I need him. I don't need him that much when Chris Godwin was healthy. I think that's the translation. Now I want to win the football games, so I'll put up with his crap. I'll put up with him making mistakes. Although you know, Brady might be able to keep him in check. We'll see. We'll see. Especially since they do need him desperately.
They need him for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
They need him. He's going to do what he has to do to finish out the year. He's shown no background of him being a problem with Tom Brady. That locker room can handle him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to bring him back, and they're going to try to win a Super Bowl, and he'll be gone after that. I mean, that's fine. That's going to happen. But I think that Chris Godwin being gone I just think that's a really big deal, because one thing we've seen with Tom Brady, he can be great, or he can get into a little bit of funk in a game that he can't get out of. We have seen that too.
Mm-hmm. Hey, when we come back, John Kay, the head coach of North Shore, is going to join us here to talk about what a legendary time and organization he has built at North Shore. We are going to talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So I went to Chastain yesterday, as a matter of fact, and I saw Allie and Tony and Patrick Chastain. Patrick was in a meeting, but I just went over there, and I wanted to hang a little bit. And I'm just telling you, I just like the people. I just really, really do. To me, that's what a business is. There were Fords. They got cars on the lots. They said, "Hey, yeah, we got some cars out here. You absolutely can come and pick one up. You want a car? You need a car right now? Yes, come on. We've got some cars out here." But the deal is this: is customize it yourself. Customize it right now. And listen, you're not finding any rebates anywhere in any dealership and any. I don't care what brand of car it is. Fords right now. You got $1,000 off right now on Ford select Fords trucks and cars. You got a $499 lease with $999 down right now on the Ford STX F-150 STX. You're not finding that deal anywhere, people. This is the best deal that you're going to get, and it's unbelievable. But guess who's giving it to you? Chastain Ford. They're doing it every day. They're going to get you as much as they possibly can in all the rebates and everything else, while other dealerships are holding it back for themselves because they're greedy. Go to Chastain and get your best deal. Go to ChastainFord.com or get to the dealership at 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5.
If you have an unpaid debt to the IRS that you can't pay, please hear this special notice. Specially approved IRS relief programs designed to aid delinquent taxpayers are now in effect that can significantly improve your financial situation. Depending on your circumstances, you may qualify to have your tax problem resolved in your favor and may even have your back taxes reduced by thousands or eliminated entirely. A relief hotline has been established by Community Tax for you to call and see if you qualify at 800-503-5879. If you owe the IRS back taxes that you can't afford to pay, don't let the IRS trick you into thinking you have no way out. Our highly accredited tax professionals will let you know what you qualify for and how much you can save. We may be able to stop all liens, garnishments, levies, and save you thousands. Call and see if you qualify for this taxpayer relief at 800-503-5879. 800-503-5879. That's 800-503-5879.
Found the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I don't know what it is, but there is something going on here in Texas high school football. What Mike Johnston started and Gary Joseph took over and perfected in Katy. What Corby started, his brother Matt is doing now at Westfield, and what's going on? I mean, and Tony Heath started in Pearland. What's going on? And what happened? David Amon back in the day, and now, man, John Kay is taking it to an unbelievable level with his fourth state championship. And he's joining us here, John Kay, on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, welcome to the show. Congratulations on your win.
Oh, thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me.
Well, let's talk a little bit about it, Coach. How do you, 2015, 18, 19, and here now again in 21. How do you have an organization that just continues to roll and roll when you have so much turnover in high school football? Is there any explanation for how you're getting this thing done every year?
Well, I think the common denominator is the community itself. And you know, as much as we change over the kids and kids are graduating and moving on, you know, the one thing that stays consistent is just the support of the administration, the support of the community. I think it's something that goes overlooked in high school football. And, you know, we wouldn't have it any other way here. And you know, we got a lot of things going in our favor. And kids are working hard, and hopefully we'll continue.
So, Coach, as good as you're doing, and you see Coach Joey McGuire taking it to another level now after winning up there in the Dallas area, now he's the head coach of Texas Tech. Has there been any thoughts for you taking it to another level?
You know, it's one of those things right here. You're focused on the job that you got, and I'm, I feel pretty confident and or at least blessed to have the job that I do have. And so I don't spend a whole lot of time, you know, looking at other opportunities. It's, I love where I'm at. I love the kids. I love this community. And, it's you never say never on anything, but it's certainly not something that you're going out to seek.
Go ahead, Lance.
Well, I was just going to ask, how does it make you feel to be part of, you know, growing and building a brand that is so synonymous? I know growing up when I was in high school, it was all about Permian what was the other school out in West Texas? The two West Texas schools, and it was, you know, that's where Friday Night Lights was born, the phrase and the book. You're part of something that is well known here in the Houston area as well. That's got to, from your own personal background and how it makes you feel in terms of your legacy as well, that's got to be a little bit special.
Yeah, I'm just super proud of everything that's going on here. You know, this is a working class community. We don't have a lot of the frills and things that are afforded in some other programs. And, you know, I think we take a lot of pride in that. And so, Friday Night Lights was a book that I read when I was in middle school in Detroit, Michigan, which is the reason I'm down here. And to be able to kind of, you know, live that life and play on the biggest stage is something that I'm not going to soon forget.
Are you living Friday Night Lights without all the drama?
Well, there's plenty of drama, but we try to keep it out of the mainstream as much as possible.
Well, you got to have the Joes, though, right? It's the Jimmys and the Joes. You got to have, but it seems like every year, Coach, how many guys you got going to Division I off this team?
Right now, we've got Chris Ross, who's committed to the University of Texas, and Denver Harris, who announced his commitment to Texas A&M. We recently had signees of Ty Leonard, who's going to go to UTSA. And Jacoby Brass, who's committed to HBU. So, we've definitely had more kids in the past that have signed big-time college football scholarships. But I think this year we had some really, really good football players. We're going to have more signed in February. And, sometimes they don't always project to the Power 5 level. But you can win a lot of games with them at the high school level. And I'm more proud for those kids than any.
Yeah, it's just amazing. But you have such a... Well, I mean, you're putting them together, and you got to do it on the field. You can have all the talent in the world if you can't get them to win football and believe in all this stuff. John Kay, head football coach at North Shore, with us here on ESPN 97.5. I'm just amazed at the machine that you've got going, Coach. And how does it look in the future? And by the way, the way that you get players and the players that are coming up, you see them coming up as well. What's the pipeline look like?
You know, I feel good about the groups that we got coming up. We've got two feeder middle schools here, Cunningham Middle School down Wallaceville Road and North Shore Middle School across the street. And, you know, we've got strong support at both those schools from our principal and our superintendent, Dr. John Moore. And so, you know, we're able to run strong programs at those two middle school programs. And, you know, I take a lot of pride. And we played in the toughest district in the state of Texas in 21-6A. And, you know, our kids didn't lose a game in district at any level, our two freshman teams, our two JV teams, or our varsity team. So, you know, we feel pretty good about the kids that we got coming through. I think our coaching staff takes full advantage of these playoff practices to continue to develop kids for years to come. And, I think that's the key to trying to sustain some success. It certainly doesn't guarantee you championships or anything like that. It's still Houston. It's still the best high school football in the nation. But it at least gives you a chance to compete when you get out there for years to come.
It's just
hey, Coach, do you see NIL becoming a factor? I've heard some people talk about the fact that it's going to leak down into high schools at the highest level. You play football at a pretty high level. Are you concerned about that at all, about how it could disrupt your program? Have you seen anything involving that or heard anything involving that at this point?
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard anything concrete. It is something that I'm extremely concerned about. You know, the rules or the laws in the state of Texas right now are shielding us a little bit. I just don't know how long that's gonna stay there. You know, the reality is we're starting to get some kids who probably aren't ready to make those kind of decisions in a position that they have to. And I think anytime you're asking a kid who's still developing to make those decisions, you're opening the door for other people to get involved. And I think that's where the real problems come. And, you know, in my experience in 26 years of coaching high school football down here, you know, the kids are easy. It's the people sometimes that they surround themselves with that create some of the problems. And, you know, whether you're talking about NIL or you're talking about other things that are going on, I think that's where the main concern is.
John Kay, North Shore head coach with us here on ESPN 97.5, 4 state championships now for Coach Kay. But what, how do you advise? You're going to have to, do you have to learn about this thing? Because you're going to have coaches coming in here and you're going to have a lot of offers and money being thrown at probably kids that could use that money here early on, Coach. What are you going to have to study up and help give advice for these kids?
Yeah, you know, without question. I think it's one of those things of the constant changing landscape of college football. And, you know, inevitably it's going to affect us. And so trying to stay, you know, that's the hardest part, is trying to stay current with what the rules are and what the laws are. And it seems like those change by the day. And, you know, unfortunately, I think there's a lot of people just kind of shooting from the hip. And it puts us in kind of a tough situation, just trying to make sure we can provide as much advice as we can. You know, so it's definitely something that we're constantly trying to get schooled up on, constantly trying to get more information on, so that we can pass that along to the families of these kids.
These guys are, well, how often has Nick Saban come by, Coach?
Well, you know, we went out and visited him this past summer, just because I love what they've got going on. Visiting them is like visiting Amazon. You know, just talking about a just top to bottom organization of how things are supposed to be run. And obviously, you can't do everything that they do, but you can take a few things. And you know, he's we've got a few kids that are at Alabama. We got 2 kids there now, and we had DeAndre White, who was there earlier, and he's recruited some people. And with Drew Svoboda over there, you know, from Klein Collins, and Mark Orfei, who's a senior analyst on the defensive side, who played for us here at North Shore. I think we've got some connections there. And, you know, when you're looking to do it, I don't think you need to go too much further than watching the way that they're running their program.
Imagine when he's on your campus, it's it puts the school on its tail.
Yeah. You know, they've really kind of limited how much the head coaches can get on the road, but, you know, it's always great to see him when he's able to make it down.
Yeah, that's John Kay with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Continues to do it, winning at the highest level in the state of Texas, and we all know that ain't easy, especially in that district and what you've done, Coach. It's unbelievable. Just wanted to give you some props for what you're doing over there at North Shore. Congratulations on another state championship. We really appreciate it. Continued success there.
Thanks, John and Lance. Appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you guys. We'll talk soon.
You too. There's John Kay with us here on ESPN 97.5. He's unbelievable, that machine there, Lance.
Yeah, and it's been a machine. Man, it seems like ever since you were doing high school stuff on Channel 51 that machine has been rolling. Oh, there's been like 3 or 4 programs that have maybe taken. It's like North Shore, Katy, you know, either Pearland or Humble. It will at some
Westfield.
Point or
Westfield.
Yeah, Westfield. Yeah. There's just, I don't keep up with it as closely, but those same names pop up year after year, it feels like.
When I was doing it, I mentioned David Amall, and he started that there. They won the championship in 2003, and I don't remember if I was still doing it then. I might have still been, or maybe I was just out of it then in 2003 on Channel 51, but maybe I was still there. I don't remember. But he was fun. He was a funny guy. And you know what? He started that. Like I said, Mike Johnston at Katy started. But Gary Joseph has taken it to another level. And Amon started it there at North Shore. But what John Kay has done has been – it's ridiculous how good that is. And Westfield as well, Corby to Matt Meekins now. And they're just it's just spectacular. I mean, Westfield beat North Shore this year. That was unbelievable that they came through, and my Coach Hill is over there calling plays over there. Coach Hill.
John, who was that quarterback? I think he went to Iowa, who was in, man, I cannot remember. They had a legendary high school coach. That wasn't Amon's. Where did David Amon coach?
At North Shore.
Yeah, that's right. I think there was a quarterback, a good high school quarterback, didn't end up being a great college quarterback. I want to say he went to Iowa.
I thought that was Deer Park. It was
might have been
out in Deer Park. I know who you're talking about. I forget. You know who's going to know? Tony. Tony will be able to tell us. Anyway, congratulations to Coach K and yet another North Shore State Championship.
Drew Tate. Pardon me? Tate was the Drew Tate. Drew Tate. Was the
yep.
Drew Tate. What high school did he go to? Oh, he went to Lee High School.
Lee out in. In
who was the coach?
Sterling Lee. What was it? Yeah,
Robert E. Lee. Robert High E. School. It's yeah. not called that now, I don't think.
In Baytown. No, he was in Baytown, not Robert E. Lee in Houston. He was.
Oh
in
yeah, no. What you know? What he was Baytown. They've yeah. got Clint. This is Clint Sterner's school. Somebody's got him mixed up on Wikipedia. That's right. He was Baytown. He was Baytown. And who was the head coach of Baytown?
I forget. That's
another legendary coach.
Yep. I forget. Oh yeah. Oh man, I should know this. Actually, I know him. He actually coaches the All-Star game forever. Yeah, we had him on the air. I forget Baytown. Yeah, I forget. 713-780-3776 the number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here with you. Don't go anywhere.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston SaberCats. When I'm not playing rugby, I'm listening to John and Lance on the bench. Go SaberCats!
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Thanks, Lance. That was Dick Olin you were thinking of. And he's going to be pissed that I didn't remember his name. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. And legendary coach out there in Baytown. The Rockets lose last night, 133-118. Actually shot pretty well. And, you know, from three and from Armani Brooks was back, sending Josh Christopher to the bench. Watching that game, Lance, I got to tell you, the defensive intensity was non-existent. I mean, the closeouts were just, it was so lazy. It was so unbelievable. It was like the Rockets were in slow motion on defense.
I guess that's what you deal with young teams, but... Man, when they had the win streak going, they seemed to take such great pride in their defense. And I get this is just a game, but this is also a team that you know you beat previously during your win streak. What's with the lack of defensive closeouts and energy and stuff like that? It's a little strange.
It was awful. How about the Bulls? 33 assists and 8 turnovers. That's 4-1 as a team. Unheard of in the NBA. Man, they were just and it just seemed like the Rockets were just, I mean, it's like the Rockets had never seen another team pass before because they were just behind everything and like two steps from closing out. I mean, they had wide open looks. The Bulls shot 46% from three. Holy crap. That was just awful. Just awful. And it's bad. You're right. When a team doesn't have any energy like that, it's just awful. The Rockets, 27 assists and 14 turnovers. Just not a great ratio. Just one of those games, I guess. But, you know, there's only so many games. You can play hard. You can play hard. Shengun was a little discombobulated yesterday. 2 assists and 5 turnovers. It was bad. That was bad. But for the most part, he's been pretty good. It just didn't seem like the same team. Josh Christopher, I was amazed at how little energy. That's a rookie. Hey, rookie. You better bring some energy on the defensive end.
He's tired.
Tired? He's 20 years old. I don't want to hear
you're
tired. Yeah,
they do stuff.
What?
Do stuff. Sometimes they stay up late playing games. Sometimes they might. He's 20, so he's obviously not drinking.
Well, no. He's not drinking, and he's got no women. I mean, because he's 20.
You're not allowed to have women until you're 20.
Not with COVID,
you're
not.
Is the legal age 21 for that, too?
Yes. Yes. And, oh, by the way, he's not married.
I broke that law.
He's not married either, so just so you know.
Okay. Oh, so, yeah. So he doesn't even have a wife, so that's out.
That's
so if he doesn't have a wife, he's definitely not having relations.
Right.
He's
How
not
are you
going to
have relations
so
if you don't have a wife?
He can't be drinking or doing stuff. He lives in Texas. You can't smoke here. That's not legal. He's not gambling because that's not legal in Texas. And then, oh, no, that was a road game.
There was in Chicago.
Smoking,
they have
gambling
casinos.
And smoking are actually legal there.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, that. All right. So it was legal. Yeah. Okay.
Makes a little more sense anyway.
Because at home, that's why he's such a baller at home. You're not allowed. A, he's not married, so he can't possibly have relations until marriage. He's not 21, so there can't be any alcohol consumed. You cannot smoke marijuana in this state. That is against the law, and you are not allowed to gamble. I probably shouldn't even bring that up since he plays professional sports, and that'll get him kicked out. But I'm just saying, all the vices. You know, he can't use vices as an excuse because he's not old enough.
No, he's not old enough to do any of that stuff. And none of that stuff.
When he gets married, look out. That's when the good stuff starts happening, guys.
Mm-hmm. That's what. Hey, when you hit 21 and you're married, then all
that
21
stuff
is on the
and
table.
You get married, and you know what I would do if I were you guys listening? If you're a young person, get married at 21.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the best moves you can make. Just shut out the fun years of the 20s. Shut it completely out with a nice, fresh, clean, crisp marriage at age 21. Just shut down any level of fun that you wanted to have with your buddies, or you wanted to maybe just see which woman's right for you. Just shut it down and just get married to the first one out. Listen, I did it, and it is just an experience to remember.
Then it worked out perfectly for you, didn't it?
I just called it an experience to remember.
Listen, you got it out of the way, and that's what you got to do, guys. Because the
first one to remember,
the first one never lasts ever. Get it out of the way now, and then you can go on to happiness with your second wife. That's what happens.
That works.
That's how it works.
Hey, I'm happy now.
We didn't even touch on this. That Justin Verlander's deal, it hinges on him throwing his option. The player option is conditional on him reaching 130 innings. You know what? That's excellent.
That's it.
That's excellent.
That's it? 130?
Listen, would you not have liked 130 innings last year out of him? Would you not have loved 130 innings out of him the year before? I mean, 130 innings, I think that's almost impossible.
That's 22 starts. Big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal anyway.
130? What? What, Aaron?
I said, if you got that 130 out of him in 2021, that would have been the end of the season / playoffs.
Well,
because he was injured.
Well, right.
That's where you would take it the most.
Well, if he would have given you 6 innings last year, it would have been great. What do you mean 130 innings? 130 innings, Lance, right now out of Justin Verlander would be a godsend.
It's 22 starts. It's 22 starts out of 34 starts. Well, that's only pitching 2/3 of the season. For that much money, you're expecting more.
No,
he better hit that amount.
I'm thrilled if he gives you 130 innings. If he misses some time in the middle of the season or he can't start at the beginning, okay, I'll take 130 right now out of Justin Verlander. Since you got 6 out of him over the last 2 years, 2 years, 6 innings, all right?
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Okay, so did you see the Will Fuller? Did you see how much Will Fuller made this season, Lance? Per catch.
Yeah.
How much money do you think he made per catch?
$1 million.
No, $2.5 million.
Per catch.
Per catch.
We tried to tell him. Did we not try to tell Miami? Don't blame us, Miami. And John all Texans fans are trying to tell
$384,000 per yard.
Dude, Will Fuller has been in theft mode for a while now.
Oh, he... unbelievable
My
how much money
gosh.
That dude has stolen from organizations.
Motions. Okay, what is it? Motions. No. Bodies in motion remain in motion. Bodies that are always injured remain injured. You know who came up with that?
You, just now. No one's ever said that.
Einstein.
That's a terrible way to put it. What?
Einstein did. That's part of the theory of relativity.
I mean,
bodies in motion, and then bodies that are always hurt stay hurt. That's football relativity.
It's not what? That's
yes,
not catchy
it should be.
At
well,
all.
It should
that's
be a
terrible.
Thing.
That's not what? I mean, you can't make the team in the tub. I get that one.
Okay. Yeah, but that's
the best ability is availability. I get that one. But yours is kind of.
So you're saying the wording and the packaging needs to be better.
Yeah, you.
All right. Hurt guys stay hurt. Do I just take some words out?
No, that's terrible.
That sounds exactly like Bill Parcells would say. That sounds like Parcells' theory of relativity.
But no, he would say, she's always hurt.
Oh, yeah. He did say a player was a she.
Yeah. He said Keyshawn.
No, it wasn't Keyshawn. It was Terry Glenn. And Terry Glenn ended up being a when he was with
that's
England.
Right. Terry it was Glenn, Terry
yeah.
Glenn.
And Terry Glenn ended up being a pretty good player for
yeah.
him. Yeah, that was do you think – okay, so Bill Parcells said she's always hurt, and he called trick plays.
He said – he referred to Terry Glenn as she after he pulled a hamstring 2 days into training camp.
What would he call – I don't even – I'll get fired just for goofing, for going down this road. Can you imagine if he had Will Fuller?
You what? Can you imagine what?
Can you imagine if he had Will Fuller on his team, what
oh
he would say?
Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine if Will Fuller played in the 90s for Bill Parcells?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know what he – you remember what he called trick plays?
No, what did he call trick plays?
John? Google – okay, I'm gonna do this live on air. No one says say anything. Google Bill Parcells trick plays. Google it. Live on the air.
Okay, Bill Parcells. Oh, no, you can't say that. No, you can't say that.
It involves no. Pearl Harbor.
Yes, it involves Pearl. He called them Asian plays only.
No.
You're
a little out of line yourself there.
That's why we can't play male golf or female golf or food.
He said it on the air. I think he said it on TV.
What?
We call those bleep plays.
Yeah. Yeah. Rhymes with
and
map.
And then Jiminy Creek's like, that's right, we did call him that.
he's oh, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, I forget, what was he on? He was on
I think ESPN set, I think, or maybe CBS, but yeah, he was on a set of a show.
Good Lord, Bill Parcells. He had to apologize. He had to walk that back. Not surprisingly.
Yeah.
All right, 713-780-3776. Back to Coach Cully. Kevin had called in a couple of times. Kevin, if you're still there, he'd call in. We'll update you on Coach Cully and what's going on. I mean, Coach Cully's gotten the – I mean, it's on Pro Football Talk that Florio's like, I can't believe this. And so, you know, John McClain obviously wrote about it, tweeted about it, and Florio picked it up and's like, what? Coach Cully said what now? We'll tell you on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But we want to remind you, you got to stay in the Christmas spirit, 12 days of giving. 12th day, we'd like to give back to Goodwill Houston, whose purpose is to change lives through the power of work. Goodwill Houston educates, trains, and hires individuals with barriers to employment to help them thrive. Go to ESPN975.com/12days. David Gow, matching the first 500. Let's go. This is our last one. This is the last one we're doing of our 12 days of Christmas. Let's make it a big one. Goodwill Houston. Let's talk right now about John Clay Wolf and the greatness that is. And if you're looking for that vehicle, John Clay Wolf is here for you. John Clay Wolf is the best. He's my man. John Clay Wolf, well, he says a lot of things that you're like, not sure. I'm pretty sure he would have said what Bill Parcells said. I know he would have. I know John Clay Wolf would have just blurted it out because John Clay Wolf has no future filter. But here's the deal. I don't care if he's got a filter. I don't care what he says as long as he gives me more money for my car. That's what John Clay Wolf does, and he does it every single time. Gives you more money for your car. So if you're looking to sell that vehicle, give me the VIN.com. Give me the VIN.com. John Clay Wolf will give you more, and if he can't, he's going to give you $100 if he can't beat CarMax or the dealership. He's unbelievable. He does it every single time. I don't know how he does it. He makes pennies on the dollar when he sells them at auction, but he still I don't care how he does it. I don't care if he loses on every one of them because he's giving me more money. He gave me more money for Frankie's. He'll give you more money for yours. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.